So there are risks and costs to a program of action, but they are far less than the long-range risks and costs of comfortable inaction. And what are some of the risks? Some of the risks that we have run into were issues with the union. We did have our nursing unit, which is the inpatient nurses only. They filed a grievance, and the arbitrator decided that the mandatory flu vaccination requirement needed to be bargained under their collective bargaining agreement. So it was upheld that they would not be terminated if they did not comply with vaccination. However, a National Labor Relations Board ruled in our favor and said that we could ask them to mask as part of our infection control policy. So while we can't terminate the inpatient nurses for not getting a vaccination, we can require them to be masked as part of our infection control policy. So it was thought that that might be readdressed in the next bargaining session for the nurses' union. But in fact, it was taken off the table. So we are still at the same point we were at the beginning. We are still in the agreement where we are not terminating the nurses, but requiring them to mask. And it seems like this would be a huge issue, but the reality is that we have about 600 inpatient nurses, and only 31 nurses this year have chosen not to get vaccinated. So if you look at how many nurses there are over three shifts in the hospital, that's not very many people that are actually choosing not to be vaccinated. So it was a lot of controversy, but the reality is we're only talking about 30 people in our organization that are not getting vaccinated. So for the past 4 years, we have achieved a 98% or greater vaccination compliant rate. We were the first vertically integrated healthcare system in the U.S. to do this. However, we are not the last, and there are many more people that are jumping on the bandwagon. We get calls on a weekly basis from organizations that are looking to implement mandatory policies, and so you can really see that there's a lot more interest in this over the years. These are our rates. You can see that in 2002, that was the first year that I started working at Virginia Mason. I started in December of 2002, and we quickly got some statistical information together because we didn't have any rates prior to that year. And that year, we were at 38% compliance. The following year, the employee health department worked very hard, implemented mobile carts. We did a lot of education. We expanded our hours in employee health, and we still only got to 54% compliance. So it was a lot of work, and you know, we got a little bit of an increase in our rates, but pretty small. 2004 was again the year where we had a vaccine shortage. And then 2005 was the first year that we were able to fully implement our program, and you can see we jumped right up to 98% and have continued upward since that time. And this year we were at 99.25% compliance. So the small amount that we are not compliant is that group of nurses that are not getting vaccinated, essentially. So what are the key components of a successful program? We really, really needed to have top-level administrative support. So our CEO and president were totally on board with the program, and you really need that because it is a controversial issue, and you're going to need to have issues like labor relations, legal issues, and HR issues addressed. And you need to know that your administrators are fully supportive of your program. Education is always a critical issue, debunking the myths. Everybody knows what myths are out there and the types of things and questions that you have to address. And so that needs to be ongoing and very complete. You need a good teamwork. We had flu champions throughout the organization, and I don't mean just, you know, people out there saying rah-rah, but physicians that would actually take aside other physicians and sit them down and talk to them about the issues and, you know, state their points of view. You need a good accommodation process and a tracking system. One of the things that's really imperative is that if you have a mandatory program, you need to know definitely who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, and be able to spit that out and make that perfect. And then you need to keep your campaign focus positive. How did we overcome some of the obstacles? Some of the issues that we tried to address were the needle phobia issue, and healthcare workers have as many phobias as the general public, as you all know, when you're out there giving vaccinations. And so we have offered the LAIV option from the very beginning, and we are vaccinating about 20% of our employee population with that option. So we have always offered that from the very start. Thimerosal concerns are certainly an issue, and so we have offered single-dose thimerosal-free vaccine to prevent that from being a problem. Access is a critical issue. We have peer vaccinators, mobile carts. We've done site visits after hours. We basically have 24/7 coverage in the hospital, and I don't mean that the employee health staff is out there doing additional time. We have peers that are out there and they're trained. So the nursing supervisor that covers on, you know, a 24-hour basis, they have a mobile cart in the nursing staff office where people can go and get vaccinated, or if they're slow, they can take that cart out to the floors and help with vaccinations. So there's a lot of helpers and worker bees that are out on the floors administering vaccinations in addition to the employee health staff during our regular clinical hours. Education, we have done online learning. Our first year, it was kind of interesting. We do a lot of our training via computer modules, and so we assigned an additional computer module to individuals who hadn't been vaccinated by a certain period of time to give them additional information. And I think a lot of people in that first year, as much as they didn't want to get vaccinated, didn't want to take an educational module even more. And so that helped with our vaccination process. It's funny what you learn. We did develop a flu website both for our patients and for our staff, and we had a lot of educational programs that people could participate in. We gave prizes. We had little newsletter articles we published, and we also had a hotline that people could call for information. One of the things that we also set up was a partnership with our asthma and allergy clinic. We were lucky enough to have an allergist on the flu team who helped in this process. And so anybody that didn't have a documented egg allergy or evidence of such could get free testing done in the asthma and allergy clinic. And I can tell you that almost everybody that we have sent to the allergy clinic to be tested has been able to get vaccinated. So it was a great way to, you know, help them get through that allergy piece of it, and also to provide them with a vaccination in a controlled environment if they had concerns about, you know, still getting the vaccine after being tested. And then the accommodation process, we did develop standard work. We have masking guidelines and a very, good written process that individuals have to follow. And I should mention that if an individual is cleared for an accommodation, say a medical accommodation based on history of Guillain-Barré or something, they don't have to keep applying for that. That's carried over on an annual basis. One of the things that has been very successful for us is our kickoff party. And we have a corporate sponsorship with the Seattle Seahawks. So we have every year a tailgate party, and it's a true tailgate party. We have food, we have entertainment, we have the players coming to the medical center, actually getting their vaccinations at the medical center. So they're, you know, showing that it's important. And we have been able to vaccinate a very large volume of people with this kickoff party, which is very important for us because, you know, from an employee health perspective, we do not have a lot of additional staff that have been tagged to help us in this process. So this has been a way for us to vaccinate a good percentage of our staff in a very short period of time. We try to make it fun. Again, we have cheerleaders and we have flu champions throughout the organization. This is Dr. Rakita, our infectious disease doctor, who has been very instrumental and a part of the flu team from its inception, and one of our VPs for nursing, who also helps to talk and champion the cause with the inpatient nursing staff.